Praise the Lord. We have much to praise the Lord about. Amen. A couple of things. I noticed that Chuck stood and praised the Lord when it came time to give. That's because he tested God and he proved that it was true. And I'll say the negative side of that. If you don't stand up and praise the Lord, that means you haven't tested God in your giving yet. You haven't seen how much He can increase you. Chuck has. So you can mock Him all you want, but I'm on His side. I want increase. And I want to greatly boast in the Lord. Amen? Wednesday night, if you can come a few minutes early, what I would like to do, a few strong backs, just move those soft chairs forward and the hard chairs back. And, of course, then we'll finish that duty on the 12th. We'll bring the rest of the chairs, clean them. And the only thing that's going to be on the back rows is the hard seats. Is that okay? Amen. The learner's bench is always in the front, so we're going to make that the softest bench. I want you to do something, an assignment. I want you to press in to God this week, or until He gets tired of hearing us press in and answers, moves His mighty hand. We need the clothes on this building. And the Hope Chapel needs the clothes on the building. We both need that to keep both of us from being hurt. This is not a selfish thing. We want the clothes on this to fulfill our desires, or God's desires for us in here, and for God's desires for them somewhere else. Otherwise, the enemy's going to have his way in both bank accounts. So we don't believe in letting the enemy have his way, right? So just know the plan and come against the plan. The plan of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. Come against the plan. Amen? All right. What else? Have I got anything else? That's good. I don't have anything else. Now we can go on to the 13 pages that I do have. Children, I didn't know if anybody checked down there to see if it's cold or not, but if it's cold, come back up. There's still a mystery thermostat somewhere. We will get it. Now, we have free rule reign to come and worship freely next Sunday, but this property is not ours until it closes. Amen? I'll say it in whatever way you want, but we need to press in for the close. In all sales, there's nothing more important than the close. Amen? All right. All right, you ready for some word?
Yeah.
Well, I am too. I put this together this morning, and now I'm anxious to see how it's going to come out. Father, we love You with all of our hearts. We make You King of Kings, Lord of Lords, holiest of holies in this place. We move towards You by saying, Hallowed be Your name. Praise Your name. Most righteous and pure is Your name. We want to be like You. We don't want You to be like us. We want permission to be changed. We don't want to ask You to change to meet us. We ask You, we've sung, we've testified, we've prophesied. We intend to leave this place different than when we came. And we are going to be changed because of the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will raise us from the dead spots this morning. We magnify You and glorify You as the only one that can improve our lives. No class, no instruction will ever do that. You and You alone. The only good on this earth is You. And we seek good. We seek good for other people. We love You, Lord. Change us by Your presence. Change us by Your word. It is finished. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Okay, quick review. And I'm going to try to make this very quick. We're doing a series on prayer. The purpose of prayer. Number one, it's not about me. Do not spend your time praying about you because you're wasting God's time. Jesus didn't come to the earth and spend all of His time worrying about His provision, His clothing, His place to sleep, and how He could be helped out of death. He prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So it's about we. It's about the kingdom. Here are the reasons for prayer. To stop the enemy from killing, stealing, and destroying. To usher in God's design and plan for the kingdom, which is us. By the way, do you know us? Did you know that us begins with you? Okay. That means when I'm praying for us, the first thing, person, situation I need to pray for is you. Number two, the second reason to pray. Stop our disobedience and lose God's design and blessing for us. Number three, to build a church, a bride that's pure and powerful for Jesus Christ. Number four, to rule and reign for God on this earth. Number five, to prepare for the honeymoon, our Jesus' return. That's the purpose of prayer. Number two, how to pray. Jesus said, very specifically, when you pray, pray like this. And I might add to you, there is no other way to pray but this. If any church, any doctrine, any parent, any friend, any relative has told you any other way, you need to supersede that with the way Jesus said. Now everybody in here, if you don't believe that Jesus is right over everybody else, we need to have a prayer meeting right here. An altar call. Jesus is above everybody else's opinions, right? Okay. How to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Amen. Amen means don't add anymore. That's all that can be said. Boom, it's finished. It's done. So be it. Now, the reason we pray is we want something done. Everybody agree with that? I don't think we spend our time praying so that we can get rough knees. Everybody can say amen to that. Come on, let's get prayer in perspective. We usually go to the Father because we want something. Our perspective is we should go to the Father because He wants something. Amen. Man, if we could change that, we can change the world. We go to the Father because we already know He wants something. We need to find out what He wants so we can say it. Okay. Last week, we covered this. Power is agreeing with truth. We used verse 10 as our basis. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I told you that we will never pray correctly, never be able to agree with God until we understand that we do not know what to pray for. I know this may shake your cage a little bit, but when you begin to pray, you do not know what to pray for. That's spoken to you in the New Testament. It says when you do not know what to pray for, the Spirit becomes or gets inside of you, looks at you and begins to tell you what to pray for. Now, you wouldn't need to do that if we were all wisdom. Number one, remember the five things that I emphasized to you? And every one of them began this way. You will never get smart enough to tell God what we need, what He needs to do, what needs to be done. You will never. I did it five times. You will never get smart enough to be able to tell God what He needs to do or what you need. Because the Bible says that He knows your needs before you ask. Let me say it another way. He knew about you what you needed, and you ain't even figured it out yet. You just think you have. You will never know what you need until you go to Him and say, what do I need? How do I pray? Jesus says, begin this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I tell you, if you can learn that one, you'll nearly move out of prayer. You'll just go straight into praise and stay there. And by the way, if you do that, the right words will begin to come out. Five things. Number one, never get mature. If you think that you're mature, you've already made a mistake. The Bible says the only way you're going to understand the things of the kingdom is come as a little child. He didn't say after 30 years of service, 30 years in the church, 30 years of being a Christian, or any other thing, or 130 years old. He just said, unless you come as a little child, you'll never enjoy the things of the kingdom. Never get mature. Or never tell me, you, or anybody else that you know a lot. Number two, never get spiritual. Never get spiritual. See, the one thing I don't ever want to be is spiritual. I don't ever want to be spiritual. Now, I'm talking about the way that we define spirituality. I want to be spiritual in God's eyes, but I don't think we've figured out what that is yet. It's not a robe. It's not anything that we can imagine. It's being what God made us to be. That's truly spiritual. Never get spiritual or say, I've done plenty. Number one, you don't know plenty. Number two, you haven't done plenty. You haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of what God has for you yet. I don't want to hear about your past experiences. I want to hear about what you're expecting in the future. You want to know the sign of old age? When all you can remember is behind you. And all you're looking forward to is zero. That's dead. You want to depress people? Tell them about what happened in 1920. Tell them about what happened in 1940. Tell them about what happened in 1960. People are going to say, what in the world has that got to do with me today? It doesn't pay my bills. It doesn't give me the ability to. If that's all you can think about, if there's no future, then don't make us dig your hole. Go ahead and dig your own and jump in. Amen? You want to excite people? Tell them what's going to happen tomorrow. Only way. Tell them what's going to happen tomorrow. Never get righteous. A righteous person. Can I show you a righteous person? I've never drank. I never smoked. I never danced. I never chewed. And I don't hang around those people that do. That's self-righteousness. If you're going to tell people that you've been spared from sin, give God the glory. Don't act like you were something special. Just make sure that they understand that God's something special to you. And He's done some special things. You know, somebody that hasn't had a little life of sin has great many things to praise God about. But not strut. Never strut. Because the Bible says you are to say, except by and for the grace of God, there you go. Right where they are. Never get righteous. Number four, never stop thinking you are strong enough. And I'd like to stand in 1,000 charismatic churches and Assembly of God churches and Nazarene churches and Baptist churches and tell them this. I don't care if you're filled with the Spirit. I don't care how long you've lived. I don't care how strong you think you are. You ain't strong enough to make it through this day. Only by the grace of God can you make it through this day and tomorrow. You better learn where your daily bread comes from. Daily bread comes from. The only way you're going to know that is to be in the presence of God, in Hallowed Inn, in the Hallowed Motel. Now you checked in and you're not leaving. Number five, never pray good prayers. Never pray good prayers. You want me to tell you a prayer that stinks? One that's written. A written prayer stinks because it's not by the Spirit and it's not from the heart. So what if your prayer is kind of rough around the edges? Who are you praying to, me or God? You pray from the heart, you'll impress Him. You pray from your vast knowledge of how a good prayer sounds, well, by now He stinketh. Never pray good prayers. Pray powerful prayers. What is a powerful prayer? One that God gives you to pray. That's one that's powerful. If you want to live, if you want life to be good, anybody in here want life to be good? We will let God tell us what to pray. Number one, we will let God tell us what to pray. Number two, we will instantly agree with Him. Number three, we will begin to pray and praise. And number four, we will begin to prophesy what He just told us. Where did we end up there? Nowhere, except life is good. We're not in that factor, except we pronounce now that life is good. Why? Because it is. How did it get good? Because we began to speak what over us and over other people what God speaks. I will remind you of the scripture that I read last Sunday, and then we're going to get into this Sunday. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 and 5. Some people would consider this minutia, but this is very, very important for our understanding. 1 Timothy 4, 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. See, we always want to say that God made everything good. Baloney. It says it's good if you receive it with thanksgiving. Now listen, verse 5. If you know it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. I will remind you again. If you want the Word of God, you've got to ask for the Word of God. Then you can pray. That's the thing that's laid out here. Stop your praying without asking God what to say. You know why? Let's get down to Genesis again. Because God's breath was breathed into you. Then God openly spoke. He gave us dominion. Genesis 1:26. He gave us dominion by that voice. And we should be respectful enough and honor God enough to ask Him before we speak, because it is His breath. And it does carry power to move mountains, to recreate the earth. Got it? For it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Now we get to today. I hope that everybody's toes get stepped on today. In case you think that I'm stepping on your toes, yes. All the way, if you're a little child, to your parents, wife to your husband, husband to God, parishioners to pastor, wherever you want to say this, here's my title. Agreement is true love. Agreement is true love. A couple of things hit me, and I'm going to just preview them, and then we'll hit them again. This week, it hit me. I'm getting sick and tired. Well, let me just start right now. Submission, obedience, faith, law, headship, and position are worthless words to somebody that's in love. They don't even mean anything. Because if I'm in love with my God, I don't question Him every day. Are you sure this is right? I need to pray about this for a while. I need to think about this for a while. Well, I don't like that. It's my opinion. You're not in love with God and you don't trust Him. Because if you trusted Him, you wouldn't interject your opinion. You don't trust that God's opinion is better than yours. You want to interject yours because it's better than God's. Now, how far down the totem pole do we want to bring that? Don't tell me you trust me, and then you want to see the books. You either trust me or you don't. And it's all right if you don't, but just don't lie. Just say, I don't trust you. I want to see the books. By the way, I don't take care of the books, so that's no issue here. That's not the issue I want to get on. I don't take care of the books here. But I have been in many places where there's some powerful people in the church to say, you know, brother, tell the pastor, or the treasurer, I need to see the books. Why? Why? Why is that? Maybe you can explain to me why you think that my last decision was a stupid decision. We get so used to dealing with each other in an untrusting manner that we begin to deal with God in the same way. If you believe that your husband is out to rook you, leave your husband. If you believe he's okay, then treat him that way and quit questioning his every decision. Why did I start there? Well, because now we've got to go into our relationship with God. You've got to stop this fleshish nonsense. When you go into the presence of God, you must know that He's for you and not against you. You must know that He's for the world and not against the world. You must know that He wants more for you than you want. You must know that He loves your children more than you love them. And therefore, He's going to make more righteous decisions than you can. That's why you want His opinion rather than yours. And if He ever gives you an opinion that's unlike yours or rubs yours the wrong way, you are wrong, not Him. Has to be. I know some people don't like that, but that's the way it's got to be. We don't submit to somebody that we trust. We just move in that. We don't obey somebody we love and trust. There's no obedience to that. We already know they're right. We don't like to talk about that. Well, at least for flesh reasons, let's say this. They're not trying to do us wrong. Will you go that far with me? If you're around somebody that's trying to do you wrong, don't be around them. You're around the wrong person. They're bringing stuff into your life that you can't afford. That doesn't mean our decisions are always right. But if we can learn to talk to God a little more, we'll make less wrong decisions. Those terms, submission, obedience, faith, law, headship, position, these terms are what the flesh struggles with in its fight against truth. Do you know your flesh hates truth? It hates truth. You don't struggle with flesh and blood. That's not saying you don't. That's saying don't struggle with that. Just accept the truth. In true love, they don't apply. Resistance, arguing, fighting, defining, defending my position. These are signs of proof, or proof that our flesh is more important than the one we are with. Our flesh is more important than the one we're with. If I throw a tantrum, all I'm doing is exposing myself to you as being very fleshy and selfish. How much more so in the presence of God? By the way, don't be offended. It comes natural. It comes with the flesh. That's natural. Our fight is to take dominion over the natural and become the supernatural. To agree with each other, to agree with God, we must trust. It's the only way we can agree. To trust, we must put their wishes or their beliefs above our own. Do you think God is a testing God? If you don't, you're mistaken. I'll answer right open. God tests you on your commitments and decisions. And if you say, God, I trust you, The first thing He'll do is put something in front of you that makes your flesh cringe and want to run away. Why? You spoke it. He just wants you to know whether you mean it or not. You'll either go the right way the wrong way, and after that He comes and says, remember what you told me? By the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and says, remember what you told me? Do we believe that God's plan for our lives and future is better than our plan? Shall we have a test? Man life, as I look at faces, you don't believe the questions I could ask you that would embarrass you so bad? By the Spirit, not by my own little check marks. God instantly puts things in my mind when I look at you about where you just failed a test. You don't really trust God. Or you wouldn't be saying, doing, or allowing things in your life like you are. As a parent with children, I guarantee you that if you truly believe that your steps are ordered and that God is in control of your life, you wouldn't put up with one-tenth of the things that you put up with your children. You'd knock both their eyes into one every time that they looked at you. Why? Because your Bible tells you that you can chastise. You are required to chastise your children, or you're killing them. It says if you want to murder them, don't chastise them. I will remind you, simply because some of you need to be reminded, that when my son was well old enough to make his own decisions, he walked into my house one day and said, Dad, what if I get my ear pierced? I said, I will rip it out of your ear. You will bleed. I will laugh. You'll be sad. And it was all foolishness. He looked at me and he said, you really would, wouldn't you? And I said, in a New York second. I said, you better understand where that kind of jewelry came from. You got a ring in your nose, something in your tongue. That's being branded by who owns you. That's exactly where that comes from. You wear that because it's a sign of who owns you. And I'll not let my son be owned by anybody but God. And I will rip it out of your ear. I didn't raise you to be effeminate. I wouldn't let you play with dolls, and I wouldn't let you wear pink. You're not going to start being a girly now. You know what? He's how old? 26, 27 years old? He still don't have his ear pierced. He doesn't wear an earring. If you got one, I'm not condemning you. I'm talking about my relationship with my son. It was my job to raise him, and I intended to do that the way I felt like God wanted me to raise him. You sound more like a drill sergeant. Thank you. Thank you. That's me. I do control my house. And I want to give all that control. You know, if I'm going to give all my household control to God, I must have control of my house. I can't go before God and say, I give it to you when I haven't even taken it over yet. Come on. You don't need to be timid. You can agree with what you know the truth to be. Power's in agreement, right? If you believe that God's plan for your lives and your future is better than your plan, then we can go on. Then let's act like it. Here's the verse again we're going to stay with. This is part two of agreement. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let me run again since it's been a long time. Let me tell you again very shortly, quickly, what kingdom means. It means dominion. Rule. What you're subject to. Counsel. Kingdom. It's a realm. When we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, it means right here. Every place I put my foot, everything that I lay my hand to, it's yours. You have total control. You have total dominion. You rule. You reign. I am subject to that rule and reign, and I am in agreement with that. I'm not just subject to it. I am in agreement with what you say. This is not Saddam Hussein type of thing. This is because I love and I want to. You ain't got to cut my ears off or rape my wife to make. That's not God. And that's not ruling for God. God wants you to put your trust in Him. And He will reward you. Just that simple. Threat? Only eternal. But don't worry, it's not right now. If that gives you any comfort, you're crazy. His counsel is above my opinion. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. His counsel is above my wishes. If you pick up your Bible, if you hear from your preacher, a good friend, whatever, and it says that there's something wrong in your life, and until you do this and this and this, it can't be corrected, then we've got two things here. We've got your opinion and God's counsel, which choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. It's that simple. Did you know that God's kingdom brings common sense? What the world refers to as common sense. It brings more than that. It brings uncommon sense. When you let God's kingdom be done and come and be done in your life, it brings you supernatural wisdom. You can see things coming a mile off. You can smell them. You can hear them. Unlike the world. Let's keep moving. I don't want to get tied up there. All of those that are part of this kingdom prove it by being ruled over. Now I'm making you mad again. All of those that are part of this kingdom prove it by being ruled over. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here's what you're saying when you say thy will be done. It's by your determination, God, not mine. It's by your choice, God, not mine. It's for your purpose, God, not mine. It's by your decree, Lord, and I agree. Now listen, let's do two more. I agree with this because I want to please you in your desire, not me in mine. I want to please you, God, in your desire. I'm not trying to please me and mine. Or my wife's in mine, or my children in mine. I really, you know, I don't give a flip about what anybody else thinks. Can you say that openly? I don't care what anybody else thinks. I only care, God, what you think. We've got many strong ministers that don't have wives, not because they didn't choose, or they did choose not to have a wife. They did it because their wife chose they didn't want to follow that way. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at how many ministries have been destroyed because the man would not choose God over the wife. See, a man can never choose his wife over God's desire. Ever, 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 ever. And a wife cannot choose a man over God's desire. Ever, 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 ever. The Bible gives some promises about how that can be healed. But you know what God's going to require first? Me. God says, me. You're going to agree with me. You're going to marry me first before I'll let you have a marriage. You don't even know what a marriage is until you are mine. Then I'll teach you what a marriage is. Second, I told you two more. The second last thing, it is for your pleasure. Now, you church full of geisha girls, you know what the definition of a geisha girl really is? One that lives for the person that they're there for. They're totally at their disposal. It isn't about anything except about the pleasure of that person. Now, are you willing to be a geisha girl to God? That you just live for His pleasure, not for yours. You don't pray for your pleasure and comfort. You live for His pleasure and comfort. Whatever tickles His fancy, I'm ready to do. I agree with and don't make any difference what. Now, how serious are we about God? You said His will be done, did you not? You prayed that. You better get serious. He heard you. We must determine that our will has built our kingdom. Let me say it personally to you. Your will has built your kingdom, and you got to give it up. Your will has built your kingdom, and it has not served you well. Your kingdom has not served you well. We must love and trust God so much that we can hush our will and agree and do God's will, the will that is best for us. For this, we must be able to seek His will, speak His will, but that's not all. I'm going to read the verse to you again. We're going to the second part of this. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will. Say it again. You know how most of you pray that's God, you do it. Most of you pray, your will be done means God, you do it. That isn't what that prayer means. That means I will do your will. In my life, your will be done. I'll do it. You don't have to do it, God. I'll do it. Isn't that what you say to people that you really, really love? You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Okay, let's see how much we love God. Let me tell you what we base this on. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Do you know God doesn't hem-haw around when He says something? That's the way it is. Are you that way when you say something, that's the way it is? Even when you say it to you? Or you just talk about it for 20 years? Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. On the seventh day, I'm going to read this to you and I want you to listen. On the seventh day, God ended His work. For those of you that have determined that you're going to pray and get God to move for you, on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. His work was to create you and make the earth. That put the earth beneath you. Everybody do this. Is the earth beneath you? Keep that in mind. The earth is not sacred. The earth was not created to please God. The earth was created to support you. And then he put you on this earth. And he said, now you have dominion over all the earth. You're not to kiss a tree. You're to use a tree. You're not to love your animals. You're to use your animals. Everything that's of this earth is not to be loved. It's to be to support you. That's why it was put here. And let me give you a little wisdom. The earth will not run out of water, natural gas, oil, light, heat, in any way, shape, form, or fashion until it's time. What does it mean when it's time? It's time when we don't need it anymore. God did not short us on provision. He created all of that right here. And he said, now I've done it. I'm through. My Sabbath has come. It is now your turn to work. My will is going to be done by you. And it'll be done by the people that are seeking the will of God. Do you think God would give you an assignment without provision? No. So when you ask God for His will and He tells you what His will is, He gives you more than enough to complete it and backs you up in the process by the Spirit of the living God, by angels, by powers that move mountains by your word. Y'all don't believe that. You look at me, you don't believe that I'm reading you Scripture. When are you going to trust God? By your word, mountains are removed. Are moved. Why? Because God said so. In these two verses, we see that God did not create us to be ornaments. He created us to tend the garden. Anybody know what tend the garden means? Tend is not lean on, set on. It means work it. You want something out of that garden? Work it. Plant it. Water it. Cultivate it. Stick with it until you get the harvest. What is our work? It's to have dominion over what He has created. It is all His, we tend. It is all His, we tend. One of these days, we will get our Sabbath, our eternal reward, and we will rest with Him. In the meantime, we tend. Now we can admit the truth. We don't know how. So what happens when we don't know how? We ask. We ask. God answers. We repeat what we're told. We do what we're told. We pray God's word. When we ask, we pray God's word. We prophesy God's word, written and are inspired. For those of you that think that God wrote the Bible and never spoke again, you're missing 90% of God. The book would have been a lot bigger than this if it included everything that God would ever say. That's a table of contents, a directory to go to the author of the book, which is the source. God is alive and real today. He has answers for every question, except, will you work for me? You ain't going to like that answer if you ask Him that. God, would you provide me income? No. I already have. God, would you heal me? No. I already have. I'm not getting up and doing it again. God, would you save me? No. I already have. Come on, this is not complicated. This is simple. Why? Because it makes your head go, ugh. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to show you don't know enough and you've got to go to God to ask. That's all it's about. He's going to be king, your opinion or not. He's going to be king. He is king. He's the only answer. He's all of the answers. You don't have them. He's got them. He'll give them to us. Okay. Don't try to get Him to work. He said in Genesis, He's done enough. Listen carefully. Our troubles never come from speaking or doing God's word. You've never had a trouble that lasted over 2 seconds from speaking or doing God's word. Here's how we pray. We spend great amounts of time praying for God to correct our failure to listen. We spend great amounts of time praying for God to correct our failure to listen and do. Maybe that is why He does not hear some of our prayers, because we refuse to hear His. If you want to know why your prayers are not getting answered, it's because you're not answering His. What does prayer mean? Please. I pray you came from will you please. Old English. That's why I keep telling you that praying is not on your knees banging your head. It is prophesying what God tells you when you begin to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your position, who you are. Every time I say that, I get goosebumps. You want goosebumps? You into goosebumps, pray right. You'll get them. Quit trying to go for the clown acts. Quit looking for the mist. Quit looking for the fog. Don't look for statues to weep and faces on the wall. Go directly to the source and get some good ones. Listen to this. I'm going to read you about 4, 5, 6 scriptures, 10, whatever I do here. And I'm going to do them bang, 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 bang. I'm going to prove to you how to have life in that more abundantly. These scriptures are going to refer to commandments. I want you to understand the commandment just means whatever God tells you. Whatever God speaks. It includes, it'll always include the 10, but people like to just do the 10 and think they're okay. But the commandments are everything that God has said, is saying, and ever will say. And the Bible says that if you'd hear all of those and write them down, it'd fill the earth. So we got a little ways to go. Now listen, Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Of those who hate me. Verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do, it didn't just say hear, it said do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes. Listen to this. I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on your enemies, the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now what the church does is they take for I am the Lord that heals you and that's all they ever quote. But it says those that listen and do the commands of God. I am the Lord that heals you. Matthew 19, verse 17. Now listen, this is Jesus. Y'all like Jesus? Y'all trust Him? He your hero? All right. You better like that because one of these days you're going to get married to Him for the final time. You've betrothed now. You're the virgins. But one day, the honeymoon. And you better be what we're reading here or you may be the five that are left. Now listen, if you diligently heed, I'm sorry, Matthew 19:17. So He said to them, why do you call me good? Can you imagine Jesus arguing with people that called Him good? He said, don't you call me good. No one is good but one, that is God. There's only one good and that is God. So if we want to do good, who do we have to go to? We're not going to know how to do good unless we go to God. That's not all of it. Listen. Jesus continues. But if you want to enter into life, keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you want to enter into life, keep my commandments. Boy, that's a rough formula. That's a rough formula. Nearly too simple, isn't it? Well, unless you become as a little child, you'll never understand the things of the kingdom. John 14, verse 15. How many of you love Jesus? One. How many of you love Jesus? All right. See, don't be ashamed of Him. He'll be ashamed of you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm not trying to get you to memorize the commandments. I'm trying to get you to go to God in prayer. Because He's got fresh, new commandments every day. Every day. It's new every morning. That's exciting. That's not drudgery. That's exciting. There's something you're going to learn new every morning. John 15:10, the promises keep getting bigger and better. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Richard, do you ever feel like you're not loved? You're kind of aimless and you don't know exactly what direction to go. Listen, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Not the ones you memorized as a child, but the ones you ask about today. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Was Jesus loved by the Father? Jesus tells you that the reason He was highly exalted by the Father was He kept the Father's commandments. Not the Ten Commandments, the 10 million commandments. In other words, those things that are fresh and new every morning. If you want my love, you'll do what I did. Just as the Father loves me, you'll walk in that love. 1 John 2, verse 3. Y'all ready to become fruit inspectors? 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him. First you inspect you. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Anybody in here, let's get personal. Let's get in that room where we shut the door. It's all about me now. I know that I love God when I keep His commandments. How do I know if God loves me? If I keep His commandments, I love Him and He loves me. Nearly too simple, isn't it? We're not going to lie. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to steal. We're not going to try to circumvent business deals and friends. And we're not jealous. We don't envy. We're not into arguments for argument's sake. We're not judgmental for judgmentalism. We keep His commandments. How do you know if you love God? How do you know if you love God? You look in the mirror, and if you're keeping all of the commandments of God, even the ones that you were given this morning, you love Him. If you don't, you don't love Him. Too simple. The gavel's down. It is finished. Black and white. No gray. 1 John 3, verse 22. And if we keep His commandments, I'm not reading yet, if we keep His commandments, if we go to Him and that He's our source, He's our answer, He's our hallowed, He's everything to us, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When you were a little kid, what you did is you pressed the limits to see what you can get by with. You wanted to go as far as you could and not get a whipping. You wanted to go as far as you can and not get arrested. You took it to the limits. And the first time you got a good, strong boot, you realized that was a little too far and you didn't go that far again. That's not our relationship with God. It can be if that's what you desire. But this was not made for a boot. It wasn't made for that, even though it's very usable for that. These were made to hear. And these were made to do. Let's go again. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What is pleasing in His sight is for you to be healed, for you to be prosperous. How do you get from where you are to where you need to be? You stop your praying and you start speaking. You've already got the answer. You went to Him in prayer. You got the answer. You got the answer, my grace is sufficient for you. You got the answer that you have bruises and stripes to be healed. You are healed. No gonna be healed. You are. You've got the promise from Him that all provisions are yours. There are a few catches. That is, receive and do His commandments. I don't feel so good. Wrong. You never heard God say that. Where in the world did you pick up that cussing? That's cursing you. Who taught you that? You want to obey the commandments of God? Then you speak the commandments of God. By His stripes I am healed. And I don't care what anybody else says. And I don't care what this body says. And I don't care what the doctor says. And I really don't care what you say. I care what God says. I am healed. And I'm prosperous. I'm more than a conqueror. Well, where did you learn that? I learned that from God. I think I'll take my learning over yours. Now we need to help each other when we go around. When I tell you I don't feel so good, you need to call me a hypocrite or a liar. Because I am cursing. I'm going against the Word of God. I'm not speaking what God has told me. I'm not speaking what God has written. I'm speaking what my flesh is saying. You're asking me to be a liar. No, I'm asking you to be a prophesier until it's true. You let God be true until the manifestation is true. That's all I'm asking you to do. 1 John 5, 2 through 4. 1 John 5, 2 through 4. By this would be a good day to go out to lunch with me because I'm not going to have a voice when this is over. 1 John 5, 2 through 4. That was lying. I'll have more than enough voice to finish and then some. There we go. By this we know that we love the children of God. Anybody in here say they love the children of God? Well, this is how I will know. This is how you will know. When we love God and keep His commandments. So you can't love God and not love His children. And we're going to know the manifestation by you loving God, not by kissing, not by hugging, not by a soft voice, not by kissy poo huggy neck, not by goosebumps. It's by doing. Love is doing. It's not saying. I guarantee you, if Bill Clinton was here, he'd love you all to pieces. And he's a bald-faced liar. Saddam Hussein, if he were here, he'd tell you how much he loves his Allah and his Allah loves him. But there's no proof in it because he doesn't love Allah's children. He'll kill, steal, destroy, rape. He'll do anything in the world because he's serving Allah. And he only knows. Well, his book says, the only book says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not a burden. Listen carefully. His commandments are not a burden. You know what that says? That says that you love Him, therefore you love His ways. They're not a pain to you. In fact, more than that, they're the only thing to you. Your friends don't matter. Your loved ones don't matter. Nothing matters except the will of God. Pleasing Him is the only thing that matters. That's obeying His commandments, by the way. Now listen to verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There is only one thing that overcomes the world, and that is what is birthed by God. Your prayers will never do anything. God's prayers overcome the world. I don't know how long it's going to take before I get this through to you, but I'm going to get this through. You're going to learn to pray. You're going to learn how not to pray. You're going to quit praying like the hypocrites pray, Jesus said. You're going to stop praying in the middle of people to see how good your prayers can sound. You're going to stop praying written prayers. You're going to stop doing penance, the thing that you owe. You know what you owe God? Yes, sir. I agree with you, sir. You're right. All the time you're right, God. If it's between me and you, I'm always wrong. You're always right. And God said, whew, I raised him right. I like him. His ways are going to go good. If we can just learn. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Did you notice it doesn't say our prayers? It says our faith. Now if we can just understand the word faith. You know what your faith is? What you believe in so much you do. You have faith in our money because you spend it. And you work to get it. Shows me you have faith in your money. In the money. I have faith in my wife because I don't lock up all my valuables when I leave the house. But do we have faith in God enough to give Him everything we have and not expect Him to spend it foolishly? I guess that was a vote yes. What are God's commandments? Anything He says, anything He wants, anything He wishes, or anything that gives Him pleasure. God told me one time when I was strong for healing. Why? Why do you want to be healed? For me, why do you want to be healed? I had forgotten that me being healed pleases Him. I'd got the cart before the horse. I wanted to be healed because it pleases me. My faith should be, I don't want to be in this state because it brings you dishonor. God, I don't want to bring you dishonor. Not one in my day in my life do I ever want to bring you dishonor. So I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be broke because that doesn't bring you glory. I refuse to be stupid because then it makes you look stupid. I refuse to be a hypocrite, God. I'm not going to say one thing and do another because that would reflect on you and it would teach everybody that that's the way you are. What are God's commandments? Anything He says, anything He wants, anything He wishes, or anything that gives Him pleasure. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of obeying the commandments of God? The kingdom? Are you not interested in the kingdom? 15 years ago or more, I had somebody come to me one time and say, I've never heard anybody talk about the kingdom like you do. You talk about it all the time. I said, what else is there? See, if you talk about Jesus all the time, you don't talk about the kingdom, you don't even understand who Jesus is. Because that's all He taught. You never heard Jesus talk about Jesus. You heard Jesus talk about the kingdom. Amen. When God talks about it, He talks about the kingdom of God. He doesn't talk about God. Here I am. Worship me. The kingdom is what He wants to teach you. Right. Not even God teaches you that it's all about Him. The kingdom. What's the purpose? It's best for us. Do you truly believe that what God wants for you is best for you?
Yes. Amen.
Then you'll never argue with Him again, right? You'll never question Him again. You'll never wonder if he's lost his mind again. You'll never wonder if his arm is shortened and he can't heal you or he can't provide for you. You'll never let that question even come up in your mind. Ever again. Promise me. Ever again will you let that happen. Amen. Number three. It's best for our children and our children's children. For you to obey God, for you to teach the kingdom, for you to drive the kingdom into your children is the only thing that's going to help your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. You can accumulate the greatest wealth on the face of the earth, like Hearst did out there in California, and you'll end up with a daughter that's easily persuaded into some fanatical group. You cannot buy security. You cannot. It is not possible. I hope you understand that your insurance company is not enough. And your savings account is not enough. There can be something happen to you that can wipe the whole thing out in a matter of moments. But nothing wipes God out. Nothing. And so your hope better be vested in Him. Hallowed be your name. Not I have good health insurance. Okay, that'll be quick enough. If you want your prayers responded to every time, hallowed is His name, is the door that opens. Now let me tell you something. You know who opened the first door? Do you remember, we've been studying this, the temple, the tabernacle, and the Holy of Holies? When sin entered in by Adam, the door was shut to the Holy of Holies. Sin will always do that. It'll still do it today. You'll have no access to the Holy of Holies if there's sin involved. Sorry. Jesus, this was His prayer. Father, hallowed be Your name. On the cross, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, when it cost Him everything. He loudly stated to you, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And the door was open. The door was open. Why? That's how we can say right now, enter into the hotel, the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. Then enter sanctum, the one that nobody else has been able to get into. We now have total access. By hallowed be Your name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You want to know where the information is? It's where God's at. It's not where you are. God does not send special messengers and couriers to deliver you special information while you're busy about somebody else's business. You're going to get that needed special information when you're where He's at. You want to know the answer? Be where He's at. Because He's the answer to all questions. He's the healing to all diseases. He's the victory to all battles. He's the abundant provision to all lack, want, and need. If you've got lack, want, and need, you're not in the presence of God. He's the strength to all weakness. He's the water to all drought. He's the companion to all loneliness. He's the light to all darkness. He's the peace to all fear. He's the victory in all war. He's the success to all failure. He's forgiveness to all debt. He's family to all orphans. Holy of Holies, best of the best. There's nothing higher. There's nothing stronger. And there's no place else better to go. His name, hallowed. The veil is open. Agreement is your answer. Agree with truth. His word, not ours. We don't know what to agree with until we ask. Hearing, listen to this, hearing what to pray and agreeing sets us apart to do good works and causes the will of God on this earth. If you want to rule over the enemy, anybody in here want to rule over the enemy? If you want to rule over the enemy, we take instruction before we speak. We will take this instruction before we speak. Then we will speak nothing else. Now listen, y'all said you trusted Jesus, didn't you? I'm nearly through. It's long, but it's good. Listen to this. John 12, verse 49 and 50. John 12, verse 49 and 50. Jesus, our hero, said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment." A command. I'll say it to you again. When God speaks, it is not a suggestion, it's a command. Jesus said, "I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life." Do you know Jesus said this? "I know His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Are you better than Jesus? You got a better way than Jesus taught? This is too simple, isn't it? Sometimes we just forget how simple Jesus talked. We don't get anywhere by quoting somebody else's prayer. We get life by speaking the command of God. If we know that, we understand that, then wise people will do what we know. Right? In everybody's house. Stand with me, because you look too sleepy. I don't know why it's so hot in here. I'm going to have an emergency sweat up here when we get through where I can cut that heater off and keep it off. I don't care if you all freeze. At least you stay awake. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. In every house that's represented today, and I'm not going to do what I have the capability of doing. Do you know God's given me a strong prophetic ability? You know what that means? That means I can see things that I don't always say. And there's been some teaching recently that proves that's the correct way. Don't always say everything you see by living it out, not by speaking. That's what we learned. I can see households here that where nothing, there's no God represented in half of what you're doing. You're letting things go on in your household that God just condemns beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm telling you that. There's words spoken. There's actions done. There's people in here that are allowing others in their own house to defile their house. In their own house, they're supposed to have control over. They're allowing things that are defiling the house. You promised this morning in your prayer, by hearing from God, you agreed that it was all right for God to clean house. Well, I told you He's not going to do it. He's going to tell you to do it. And then He's going to determine whether you love Him or not, whether you obey His commandments or not. Stop telling me how poor you are. Stop telling me how sick you are when you know you're allowing things in the house that God does not like. I didn't say you were doing them. I said you're allowing them. Well, how detailed? You ask God. In many of your lives already, God has already told you what to clear out and to clean up. And you haven't done it. That was the word that came this morning. You've already been told you haven't done it. And yet you still ask Him for the provisions that are tied to the commandments. You just want the provisions, not the commandments. I openly told Richard this morning that you cannot fight but one major battle at a time. I'm serious. You and I cannot fight but one major battle at a time. And we're never going to move on to the next one until we finish the last one. God is requiring of you and me some major decisions. They may not even be major things. It may be quit picking your toenails. And I'm mocking this a little bit, but it can be that minute. God can hinge your prosperity on one little command. One. He may be just asking you to speak what you already know. That's what I think we've been talking about here for Sunday after Sunday. Speak what God has told you to speak. Just that's all you need to do. You know what? When the windows of heaven are open, the blessings start falling. The windows of heaven don't get open until you begin to say, "Hallowed is your name. Hallowed is your name. I don't come to you, God, with anything but questions. I don't come with decrees. I don't come with commands. I don't come begging. I come in praise and in worship. I come declaring who you are. Not my problems or who I am, but who you are." And when we get to that point, we quickly realize we don't have any problems, we don't have any needs that aren't already taken care of. We will begin to be able to tell the world, I am a child of God with no problems. And the world will run to somebody that doesn't have any problems. And when they get there to you, you can say, "Hallowed be His name, not mine." Hallowed be, you can point to the King. You can point to the author of all provision. It's not you, it's not your wisdom. Even Jesus said that. "Yeah, I know you think I'm smart." That's what Jesus said. "I know you think I'm smart because I can see things and I can move this and heal that, but I don't do anything except what God told me to do." So it wasn't even His thought process. That's what He was saying. "I came as a man and I'm trying to teach you how to walk on this earth. It's not my thought process. I only do what the Father tells me to do."
Right, amen.
Amen. She got it. She got it. I'll tell you who gets it first. The little children get it first. Because the weight is lifted off their shoulders. I no longer have to be a performer. I don't have to answer your beck and call. If God don't give me an answer, I don't have one. Wouldn't that be cool? Rather than us squeezing one out, we just shut our eyes and we say, "I don't hear nothing, so I don't speak nothing." We're all too smart for that. We're all too righteous and holy. We got us an answer. Praise the Lord. Are we together on this? Are we agreeing that not my words are correct, but the words of God are correct?
Yeah.
I backed it up with a lot of Scripture today to make sure that it wasn't just my words. even though I believe He gave them to me. I'm just saying what He told me to say. All hearts clear? Let me warn you. I'll ask you if you want me to pray for you. That's good. But I'm going to ask God to tell me something. So the safe part is to do what God recommends is you do this in private. You get inside of you, you get quiet, and you say, God, where am I missing it? Boom, the answer's going to come. Okay, now what do you want me to do? Boom, the answer's going to come. Now guess whose responsibility it is? Not my will, but thine I will do. Amen? Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Father, we love You with all of our hearts. When more than that, You told me a number of times, and I'll repeat it again. It's not enough to love me. Trust me. So, Lord, we just stop the love stuff because it's been so polluted. We just say to You, I trust You, Father. Hallowed be Your name means I trust You in all things. You are all in all to me. Be all in all to this world, Lord. Let Your Word go forth by Your Spirit. Let it touch the nations. That we change our thought processes to what we can do and how we can think. But we speak only what is spoken to us. I am healed. I have provisions. I have my daily bread. I take no thought for tomorrow, Lord, because I take Your thoughts instead. I am more than a conqueror. I don't think about my shoe size. I don't think about what house I live in. I don't think about the few bucks that I've got to make or spend. Lord, I spend my time thinking satellite. I am a satellite. That means I have a world perspective. I don't fool around with my little curtains. I have a world perspective. If I'm going to ask You, God, about what I'm supposed to do, then I must take Your vision, and it's a lot bigger than mine. So I take Your world perspective, Your kingdom perspective. I live and move and have my being in You, Lord, and in what You've shown me in the Word and what You've spoken. Lord, let this be the commitment of everybody here on a personal basis, not just my prayer to You, but hallowed be Your name. Control my mind. Control my actions. Lord, by Your Spirit, speak to me and give me enough intestinal fortitude, manhood, Christianhood to do what You've asked me to do. Not be ashamed of You. Not be ashamed that what I do be judged to be crazy, because I am crazy about You, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. I don't want to be anything but in You. I don't want to be of the world. I want to be You, Lord. I want to be in You. Praise You, Lord. I will speak Your prayer now over these people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I prophesy over Your people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The thought processes are changed. The questions are answered because they go to You. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Their prayer life is changed because they begin every thought process with hallowed be Your name. When the enemy comes, they don't say, oh my God, the enemy. They say, hallowed be Your name. And the kingdom shakes and moves. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're all I need. You're all I want. Don't come to me, Lord. Cause me to come to You. Teach us to pray. Don't come to me, Lord. Cause me to come to where You're at. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. We as a group now speak that the close is quick. It's now. It's not weeks from now. It's now. For the provision of this body and for the provision of the other. Let that close come now is exactly the way it was described. Not one jot or tittle changed. But it's prosperity to Your kingdom. It's glory to You. For those things that we've wrongly prayed for in the past, about all what we want seen and done, we turn them all over to You, Lord. And we say, not my will, but Thine be done by me. I want to do Your will. Don't let this be a good sermon. Let this be a life-changing message. Let it be so it is. It is finished. It is done. It is done for Your honor, for Your glory, and it is done in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with that prophecy right then, please say amen and be blessed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.